Again, Psalm 23, we've been looking in verse 4. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. We looked last week at some examples of God's provision for His own, and that's what this table speaks of. And of course, there are many, many examples of God's wonderful and miraculous provision. The fact that He prepares a table for us speaks of His hospitality toward us, His reception of us, and His generosity toward us. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7, talks about the manna, God providing the manna. He says, I will rain bread from heaven for you. I will for you. I will for you. And that's a wonderful thing to know. But this God-provided table, again, is an example of God's miraculous and continuous provision for His own. It's a product of His unsearchable riches. Every table He prepares for us is a product of those riches. But He not only prepares an abundant feast for us, He not only prepares a table for us, even more importantly, He prepares us for the table. The truth is, if He just prepares a table for us and doesn't work in our hearts, we'll miss the table every time. So He prepares us for the table. He causes us to see, as He did with Hagar in the wilderness. So this God-prepared table speaks of fellowship with God. God provides us every day the opportunity to fellowship with the Lord. And when we do not take that opportunity, we lose more than you and I even can imagine. So the table speaks of fellowship with God. Speaks of the fact that God initiates a relationship with us. There's a bond. There's a friendship. There's an affection between God and His own. Speaks of communion. This God-provided table speaks of communion and interaction with God, with His own. God desires to commune with His people. That's miraculous in itself. God desires to interact with His people, and He prepares a table. It's God sharing with us of His own. He prepares a table. He is sharing His riches. He is sharing His bounty with us. So the table, of course, is an expression of His love. It's an expression for His care of you and I. But notice here in verse 5 where He prepares this table in the presence of mine enemies. We're always in the presence of enemies. We don't always realize it because enemies are not just human. There's demonic forces all around us. We're always in the presence of enemies. Thou preparest a table before me. So that means it's available. That means it's accessible. It's not out of my reach. Thou preparest a table before me. So it's right there. We have to believe that. Believing that, we ought to look for it. We ought to always be looking for that God-prepared table because it's before us. Due to our flesh, due to our nature, we don't always see it. It's right in front of us. But we don't always recognize it. And we recognize other things that are harmful to us. We need to train ourselves and ask God to train us, more importantly, that we always be looking for that table because it's before us. It's right there. Don't walk past it. You need what's on that table. So it's available, it's accessible. In the presence of mine enemies. So we have two prepositions here. Before, it's before me, and it's in the presence of our enemies. Again, the enemies of the soul are many. We want to just look at the Psalms and see the enemy. The psalmist often speaks of enemies, the enemy. And as you follow that through the Psalms, you begin to learn the character of our enemies, whether it be man or whether it be demonic forces. Again, I don't believe that a child of God can be possessed with demons. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. I do believe that God's people can be oppressed by demons, that is, under demonic, satanic attack. I certainly believe that. I believe it's very common, especially in the day in which we live. And I believe we're always in the presence of these demons. Notice in Psalm 25, verse 19, consider, this is the psalmist is praying, it's David in this case, consider mine enemies, for they are many, for they are many. Now David is probably referring to Saul and Saul's forces. And it's true, our enemies of the humankind are many as well. And they hate me with cruel hatred. So it gives you the enemies are many, and their hatred is cruel. In Psalm 56 and verse 2, mine enemies would, if they could, they would daily swallow me up. That is, they would destroy me every single day. So that means that these enemies are active every day. For they be many that fight against me. But then notice how he recognizes God, O thou most high. In other words, he's above the enemies. Psalm 86, verse 14. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies, again, that assemblies, plural, speaks of many, the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul. And that's what the enemy does. They seek our soul. They don't just seek the physical. They seek the soul. And have not set thee before them. Psalm 94, verse 21. They gather themselves together. Again, speaking of many. Against the soul of the righteous. Against the soul of the righteous. But again, there are many. Psalm 119, verse 157. Many are my persecutors. So there it is again. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies. Yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. That's their goal. The goal of the enemy is to cause us to move away from God, from God's word. So these enemies are many. But in the midst of these enemies, God prepares a table. God has a banquet for us. Do not allow the enemy to keep you from the banquet that God has prepared for you. Don't allow that to happen. We need a little stubbornness about us in the right things. We can be stubborn in things that don't matter, but some stubbornness in the right things is a good thing. We are not going to let the enemy keep us from the banquet of the Lord. These enemies are active. They are strong. Psalm 38, verse 19. Psalm 38, verse 19. He says, mine enemies are lively. That is, they're active. They're not just lying there dormant. Now, you may have an enemy that lies dormant today, but I guarantee you there's many enemies, and not all of them are lying dormant. They are lively, they are active, and they are strong. And they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. Not only are the enemies many, they tend to multiply. They tend to multiply. The truth is, if you think that, you know, everybody is your friend, you're sadly mistaken. The enemy is many. And they lurk. Notice in Psalm 71, verse 10. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. People can disagree on a lot of things, but they seem to come together in agreement on attacking God, evicting God, persecuting God's people. God's people need to learn that from their enemies. Though they disagree on a lot of things, they can agree on a common goal. Sadly, God's people, for the most part, have never gotten there. They disagree on something, and that's the main issue. It doesn't matter what it is. Nothing else matters. They lose sight of the main goal. And I don't know that anyone's better at that than Baptists. That perhaps is an unfair statement. It's the only ones I'm familiar with. But in the midst of all these enemies, God has a prepared table. God has a banquet for us. The psalmist speaks of the rage of the enemy. Notice in Psalm 7, verse 6. Psalm 7 and verse 6. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger, lift up thyself, because of the rage of mine enemies. Now, that's quite a prayer. God, or the psalmist is, which is David again, is asking God to be angry, to show his anger toward his enemies. And the reason is because of the rage of mine enemies. In other words, they've become more active. Lord, rise up against them. That's our best defense against enemies, is the Lord. These enemies are deadly. Psalm 17 and verse 9. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies, who compass me about. Deadly enemies that compass me or surround me. So this isn't a game. This is serious business. Deadly enemies. They would inflict death, and there's something worse than physical death, and that's spiritual death. And when you think of death as a separation, when the enemy separates us from, or we allow the enemy to separate us from the spiritual, that's death. And that's worse than physical death, and far more harmful. There's the enemy's pursuit. Psalm 18, verse 37. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again. That's us pursuing our enemies. That is, we ought to be aggressive against them. There's the hand of the enemy. Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 18. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. I meant to read verse 8. Thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. The hand of the enemy. To be shut in the hand of the enemy. That is to be grasped by the hand of the enemy. You do not want to fall into the hand of the enemy. You do not want the enemy's hand to get a grip upon you. Whatever that enemy might be, it doesn't matter. You do not want to fall into the hand of the enemy because it'll destroy you. Psalm 106 and verse 10. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So again, there's the hand of the enemy. The enemies are everywhere. The enemies are many. We ourselves become our own enemy. Our sinful flesh is an enemy. Sometimes our thinking is an enemy to us. Sometimes our reasoning becomes an enemy. I mean, the enemies are innumerable. And we manufacture some of them ourselves. But again, you got to avoid the hand of the enemy. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. So when we're under the threat of the enemy, whatever it is, at this point, it doesn't matter who the enemy is or what the enemy is. There's a table. There's God's provision. There's the oppression of the enemy. Psalm 42. Psalm 42. And verse 9. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? Why do I allow myself to do that is what the psalmist is saying. Psalm 43, 2, for thou art the Lord, for thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy, the assault of the enemy? There's the voice of the enemy, which can be quite frightening. Psalm 55 and 3, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. The voice of the enemy. And now we live in a day where there are many vehicles in which the voice of the enemy can come through. I mean, it's everywhere. And it's not like in the days when there were no telephones or the days of no computers. And now there's all kinds of devices that give the enemy a tool to use, to speak. And we're not against, though some people think we are, we're not against technology, but I do believe that every piece of technology that Satan can use, and he does use, and certainly God can too, and does, but we need to realize that every piece of technology is just another tool. Just another tool of the devil. Yes, it can be a tool of God. We're quite aware of that. But it's still a tool of the enemy. And a lot of people don't seem to realize that. So there's the voice of the enemy. So the enemy is everywhere. The enemies are many. But in the presence of mine enemies, God provides a banquet for me. That's what we must, that's what needs to be our focus. I can spend a day focusing upon enemies, and I'll have a bad day. Guaranteed. I'm in for a miserable day. Or I can focus upon God's banquet that he prepares for me in the presence of mine enemies. God knows what we need. God has what we need. God knows when we need it. He's our shepherd. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer.